I do have images of myself in Alice Springs at about age 5, of painting on butcher's paper on an easel at Hartley Street Primary School. It's fixed there. I can see myself. It's one of those crazy spots. And I haven't seen myself in memory of myself painting at any other time until I was about 14 or 15, when I was fostered out into a European family. So it was there, but apparently I was doing artwork, and I can't have much recall of it, when I was an institutionalised, because I was removed as a child and sent to Adelaide, that I was painting then, but I don't remember that part of my life.
I imagine being institutionalised could have a big impact on you as an artist, on the kind of work you do you think?
Well, in a way, it probably did, but being institutionalised was about removing and that identity twist that people have, who they are, where they are and all that, what they're doing. As you grow up, you are seen as a particular type of person. You're a young boy that's of Aboriginal descent, so you're Aboriginal. And you're reminded of that, and they call you black on the oval, they call you darky. You are told that by non-Aboriginal people. So if that's what I am that. So I'm not going to shift from that. So I want to be proud of that as I went on in life. And older boys in the institution, don't worry about name-calling. Just be proud of who you are. You're an Alice Springs boy that's come to live here. So forget the rest.
When did you... What do you think of yourself as an activist, Harold?
Well, I think at the time when I left art school, the era of the Vietnam War and the anti-moratoriums against war in Vietnam, I was on the fringe of that because I didn't see any black people marching. The first Aboriginal demonstrations and marches in 1970 and 71, this was after Charlie Perkins, you know, freedom rides and stuff like that was happening. I went to the very first Aboriginal demonstration in Adelaide in 1970, but we were sort of outnumbered by university students and trade unions and teachers and people like that, and journalists. They all turned up. But there were only a handful of Aboriginals marching in front, and we had placards, you know, stand up for your rights, black is beautiful, black pride, land rights now, and all that stuff. And over that period of time of 12 months, I was thinking more about the identity of who we were. And that's why the Aboriginal flag was there, to say to people, I've got a symbol that represents me, who I am, whether I live in Redfern or in Adelaide or Perth. I'm proud of that. And because of that factor, it spread everywhere, so it went to the far reaches of our beautiful country. Fortunately, we had the Tent Embassy happening in the 1972. The Tent Embassy in Canberra was the pinnacle expression of our identity with the flag.
This is not Baton Rouge, it's not Mississippi, and it's not Louisiana. It's a crisp, sparkling, sunny winter day in Canberra. There were no truncheons here, no police dogs, and no electric cattle prods. But it was white Australian police against black Australian Aborigines.
It's so simple, but such a striking image.
Yeah, well, the thing about simplicity is most Aboriginal is simple, with dots and dashes. It's simple. You don't want to complicate an expression. Working at the South Australian Museum, I was surrounded by Aboriginal material culture. So all designs and all these sorts of things was there. And specifically the colours of red ochre and yellow ochre. So it was just natural for me to use those colours, you know, which were used for 40,000 years or more. And the red ochre is the land and what it does for it, it nourishes her. And the yellow represents the sun, which gives us all life. And black is a political symbol about black pride, black identity. So then you need an artist like me to create it, I think.
I'm sitting here with Territory artist Harold Thomas. What's it been like to watch a symbol that you designed take on that historical life?
Well, it's sort of part of my life. You know, I just see it everywhere, television, on people wear it, it's all over the place, and it's on caps and T-shirts and badges and things. It's about the place, you know. It's omnipresence about it. It's just there, like it's never was there before. It's people who were born after the period of the time thought it was always here. So it has that look about it that it's old, you know, because of the colours.
You picked up two flags at the same time today. Was that a deliberate gesture by you?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I know that I got a lot of support, you know, to keep flying both flags from Australia, a lot of faxes I received, and I didn't want to upset anyone by picking up the Aboriginal flag first or the Australian flag first, so I picked them up both at the same time.
Well, the Australian Commonwealth Games Association acknowledges Cathy Freeman's heritage and her world-class 400 metres win yesterday. The Australian team is competing at these 15th Commonwealth Games under the Australian flag.
The Australian flag simply doesn't represent Australians anymore. If one of Australia's greatest athletes feels that she must carry two flags.
The debate about the Australian flag kind of goes on and on, and I suspect it will forever, probably.
Yeah.
But do you think you'll ever see the Aboriginal flag incorporated into the Australian flag?
It's a difficult one. I've always thought with the idea of having part of it together with the Australian flag at present, but it doesn't work. There's nothing wrong with having two separate flags. I've always believed that the Eureka flag is the appropriate flag. It's the flag of rebellion, defying the establishment. This is who we are, you know. Don't tell us what to do. I'm happy to have both flags fly together. An Australian flag should remain as it is till they can come up with a better one. And I don't think they can, because it's what it is. It represents the struggle in wars. It represents all sorts of things about Australia. And I'm happy with that, because, you know, more colours the better.